Well, a warm welcome to you who just tuned in. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, and you listen to the program called At Ease. It's made possible for us by the South African Military Christian Fellowship. And also this is a production of Good News Community Radio Station, or known as GNCR. You're about to listen to our program, the Devotion by Reverend Max Mupondi, from the MMI, Military Ministry International, as you're going to share with us in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Then you're going to listen to the South African Navy Band, the first piece of music, Joyful, Joyful. After that, our Military Challenge newspaper, narrated by Graham Wilson. And the theme of this testimony will be, Anger Can Torch Your Relationship. And this is a testimony from Rob Furlong. Then we're going to listen to Captain Peter Lawrence as he teaches us how to do personal evangelism. The South African Military Christian Fellowship News is next. After that, reading for us, it is Riranzo Mangani. Then we're going to play out with another song by the South African Navy Band called The Day Thou Cravest. God bless you. As you be at ease wherever you've been tuned in, and trust that you'll be at ease.
Our reflection today comes from Mark 4, 35 to 41, which I have entitled Peace Be Still. And the same day, when evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He said to the hinder part of the ship, Asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, What manner of a man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Trust me, hard times will come to all and sundry, including followers of Jesus Christ. The Lord did not promise us a smooth and safe ride. In John 16:33, he said, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I don't know what you are going through right now. Is it loss of a loved one, sickness, rejection, lack, or falsely being accused? You might be asking, where is God in the midst of my distress? Has the Lord abandoned me? And like the disciples, you may be asking, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? I came here to tell you that He cares for you. Everything you've been through or are going through right now, do not face that situation alone. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, Have faith in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Call upon His name. He cares for you. Romans 10:13 says, For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. James 5:16 says, The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man shall availeth much. And Isaiah 59:19 says, When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Isaiah 54:17 says, No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. And Revelation 12:11 says, And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Jesus Christ is our standard. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there for you. Jehovah Roi, the God who sees you. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord your peace. Jehovah Tzikenu, the Lord your righteousness. He is our deliverer. He is your redeemer and avenger. He is the Lord of the storm, the resurrection and the life. Call on his name. So let me pray with you. Father, I pray for that person who is tuned in right now, going through a difficult time. May the God of all comfort and peace arise and his enemies be scattered. May he shine his face upon you and strengthen you. May he supply all your needs and satisfy you with good things. May he calm the storm in your life and give you a hope and a future. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Peace. Be still. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Max Mupondi. Be still and know that I am God. There's a song that I also sing. I know the master of the wind. Maybe you know that song. You know, this portion of scripture means so much, so much. If you just listen to how he quoted one verse after the other. The question that I have with this is, you know, why did Jesus go down and sleep in the boat? In the midst of the storm. And you know, the Reverend has taken another angle of this. And it is so true. Many times we miss that Jesus is there in spite of the storm or in the midst of the storm. And many times I think Jesus is, it's not that he's not active or that he's, you know, sitting there passive and don't want to do anything. I think sometimes he also wants us to exercise our faith. Yeah, my cry of doubt and my cry of despair will also awake him. Now, God never sleeps. That's what the Bible teaches. But in his flesh, as a human person, he was also tired. He's also hungry. He was also, you know, he also cried. And there's many things that he showed the humanity of Jesus. But many times as well as he are quiet in the midst of the storm, he wants us to also exercise our faith, knowing he's right there, right there. So maybe you think Christ is asleep in your boat, in your life, in your circumstances. I love what the pastor said. Christ do care. Take heed. Be encouraged. He will never leave you, never forsake you. And I know when I was in the military, you know the thing that I stand behind and that I know that can help me was my gun. You know, I was, and I don't want to be explicit. I don't want to give a lot away. When I stand behind that brownie, 5-0 brownie, I'm telling you, don't come in front of me. I have such confidence in my weapon because I know him. I know that weapon. But little did we know, if it wasn't for God, that he's my strength, he's my fortress, he's my comfort, he's my shield. There's a lot of things that weapon can't do. Many trust in chariots and in horses and manpower. God wants to change our perspective to him, to say, trust me, be still and know. Who is this? Well, maybe you ask that same question while you are in your boat. Let's listen to our next song from the Navy Band, Joyful, Joyful. And in the midst of our storms, we can be joyful. Let's listen to the Navy Band.
Oh,
What a beautiful song. Joyful, joyful. You know, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is, you know, we are so happy because things happen to us. So, it is different from a real joy. Joy comes from a relationship with God. Doesn't matter what happens to us. While just happiness, you know, I'm so happy because something happened to me. And if things don't happen to me, then I'm not happy. So, but joy is different, that Jesus prayed that, you know, he prayed to the Father. It's not just his peace, but his joy. Joy and peace that surpass all understanding. I can have the utmost joy in the midst of our storm, if I think of the Reverend's message. Doesn't matter how fierce the wind is. And doesn't matter, you know, one day I wake up in the morning here at a mission and the one guy come to me and say, did you play a trick on us? I said, what do you mean? He said, come and watch. And I look and there's my buggy up on bricks. My front tires with the rims are gone. Praise the Lord. How can you say that? Because my joy is not connected to my buggy's front wheels. Well, I need it, yes. I know it is, you know, you feel maybe many, and I think it happened many times with many people. But I said, well, praise the Lord. God is going to do something here. And he did. So because my joy is in Christ and not my happiness is in things. And I learned that lesson the hard way. Maybe you too. Joyful, joyful. We're going to listen now at Graham Wilson, as he's going to narrate for us, out of the Military Challenge newspaper, about a man called Rob Furlong. And the theme of this testimony is called Anger Can Torch Your Relationships. I trust that you will be blessed as you listen to this testimony.
The following testimony is taken from the military edition of the Challenge newspaper, the Good Newspaper. Anger Can Torch Your Relationships, by Rob Furlong. Angry people can do a lot of damage. If you haven't discovered this yet, listen to the advice of the Incredible Hulk's alter ego, Bruce Banner, who politely warns all those who would provoke him, "Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." His message is clear. Get me angry and you will unleash the beast, and it won't end well for anyone. Unresolved, uncontrolled, and inappropriately expressed anger leaves a destructive wake in relationships, both for those on the receiving end and the angry person. Part of growing into an emotionally mature person is recognizing where and how you express anger, that it may be negatively impacting your life and relationships, and developing new, healthier habits. One of the first growth steps for me in this journey was to learn how to identify the type of anger I struggled with. Essentially, there are two types of anger. Fiery anger, which is the kind that flares up quickly and then vomits all over people. It doesn't require much to set it off. Fiery anger bubbles up inside the offended person, resulting in a tirade against the offender. But significantly, as soon as it is expressed, it settles down. Having gotten things off their chest, the once angry person now feels great, but everyone else is left to clean up the mess. You don't have to be a genius to figure out this type of anger produces enormous frustration, hurt, and fear in relationships. Frustration and hurt because those on the receiving end have said things and done to them which leave deep emotional and sometimes physical scars, and fear because they walk on eggshells, doing their best not to set the angry person off again. Volcanic anger is quite different. Like a seemingly dormant volcano, this person's anger simmers away beneath the surface, rising ever so slowly until it finally erupts. Just like a volcano, the eruption can go on for a long time. It's usually far more destructive than fiery anger and can often lead to the angry person holding deep-seated grudges against others. Fiery anger may well damage relationships, but volcanic anger will destroy them. Volcanic anger is not pleasant. I should know because it is the type of anger I struggle with. Having come to the point in my life where I needed to face the fact, I did not deal with my anger well. It was an amazing revelation to discover the type of angry person I was. Fiery anger people usually do not hold it in. They are angry and it is there for display for everyone to see. Volcanic anger people appear calm, but inside they are all the time quietly pushing their rising anger down. We call this stuffing, and I was a classic stuffer when it came to anger. Following a hurt or perceived slight, I would just push it down, telling myself not to get angry. This could go on for days, sometimes weeks, but inevitably there would be the straw that broke the camel's back, and my anger would erupt. Learning this was liberating because I became more aware of myself and how I processed my anger from there. I was able to develop healthier ways to both process and express it. This was not an overnight process. No positive change is ever easier. But over time, significant and lasting change took place.
They call it stuffing. Thank you, Graham Wilson, for that wonderful testimony. Anger can torch your relationship. Rob Furlong. I was thinking of that word, stuffing. And then it reminds me of when I get angry, I stuff it. I let it, you know, like in a pressure cooker. Lay it there. Put it there. And it heated up. And it heated up. And you get quieter and quieter and you don't talk and people ask, what's wrong? You say nothing. You just be so short off, you know. And you don't want everybody to know what's wrong with you, but everybody can see there's something wrong with you. Stuffing. I wonder, and now I want to challenge my brothers in the military and maybe my sisters too in the military forces and maybe you are retired and... I wonder if it is a man thing. You know, we stuff things in our hearts. The wife asks, what's wrong with you, my love? Nothing. It looks like there's a lot of boxes in our heads, you know, full of stuff. But there is a particular box in our heads that's empty. And at the right moment, our loved ones ask, hey, what's wrong with you? We say, nothing. Because we're standing at that box. It's empty. There's, you know, are we lying? Because there was nothing in. Because we cowboys don't cry. And at least not in front of their cows. Isn't it a man thing? And I know it is a hard thing that anger and these things, instead of sharing and let a load out and talk about it, we bottle it up. I did it on the border myself until something happened, and then you let loose. And a lot of people, not just on the border, in my own family, after I came out of the army, you are wild, you are dangerous, you are not tamed. You know, the war is over, but it's still going on in your head. And everybody is an enemy to you, and you have this attitude, this language that you talk. Instead of allow someone to come closer into your space and help you to, you know, to release that pressure inside of us. I want to say us, not you, but because I was part of that. How do you handle your anger? Can a Christian be angry? That's another question. What does the Bible say about anger? What must we do when we do get angry, especially when we are married and with our spouses and children and everybody else? I would love to hear from you if you can give us an email. Really, I would love to hear that because our email address is at ease@gncr.org.za.
grab a pen and a piece of paper, because Riranzo is going to give us the news later on, and with some points to pray for. So really, I will encourage you to do that. Well, folks, we're going to listen now to the captain. And you know, when the captain speaks, you listen. It's like a sergeant. You know, you listen when they speak. And he's going to teach us about personal evangelism.
Good evening, at ease listeners. These past 9 months or so, we've heard the two questions, these two spiritual questions regarding where you stand before Almighty God and the gift of eternal life. The first question being, have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? And the second question, suppose you were to die and appear before Almighty God, and He were to ask, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would you say? Two piercing questions that need an answer, and which prayerfully you can now answer, or you were able to answer. But now the question being, don't you want to ask people those questions that you know and want to know? Where do they stand before Almighty God? Diagnostic questions to ascertain where they stand before God and perhaps help them to find salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, so perhaps you're in a foxhole, perhaps you're in a car or an aeroplane, and you have a few moments with someone. You might never see them again, but you felt led to share the good news with them. So how do you do this? Maybe it's also just with a neighbor. It's going to take over a few months. You can ask the two questions. And of course, one's got to earn the right. You can't just go in there guns blazing, so to say. It once happened at a Bible college where this outline was being taught, and they went out for practical training, got into a taxi, and the one student straight away said, suppose you were to die. And of course, the one person in the taxi got such a fright that he jumped out, slid open the door, and got out the first opportunity, worried that he was perhaps going to die. But of course, the question had been asked too quickly, and the right to ask the question had not been obtained. So over the next few months, we'll share how to share the two questions in the gospel. But we'll start tonight then with developing a friendly relationship. So this is critical. You know, also walking the talk. You've got to set a good example. People must see in you the love of Christ. They must see in you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the first point would be a sincere interest in the person's life. Ask him questions like where he went to school, why he joined the military, or the job that he's in. But taking a sincere interest, not just quickly, but taking some time to get to know him better. And sincere listening, not just what's the next question or what next in developing a friendly relationship, but sincerely listening to his answers. And perhaps he's telling you about his grandmother that died or the financial situation he's in. And these are things that you can help with later. So listen sincerely, that he can see that you take an interest in him. And sincere caring, that there's follow-up, and that you really, he heard what he had to say, and you want to care and be there for him. And of course, this all goes about the Holy Spirit helping you, that you're dependent on the Holy Spirit helping you through this time. And so you'd be perhaps silently praying, others praying for you, knowing that you love to share the gospel, and you get prayer partners. But the first point then is developing a friendly relationship. And so I'd like to leave that with you, that before you ask the two questions, that you develop this friendly relationship with people. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes that it takes, or it might be over a few months, but you might only have that moment in life, that opportunity that is there and then gone, that you meet this person. And then you've sown seeds in his heart, the two questions, and the Holy Spirit, of course, dependent that he will continue to speak to this person's heart afterwards. So thank you. So take that to heart, developing this friendly relationship, that you can earn the right then to ask the two questions that you will come to in a few weeks' time. I thank you. Every blessing in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Captain Peter Lawrence. I take that to heart. If I know that many years ago, I might avoid a slap in the face. You know, when God called us to be full-time in missions, you know, it is in 1988. Maybe some of our listeners didn't even was been born yet. I resigned from the work where I was working 24/7, give my notice. God called me. You know, you are young and dangerous. Maybe I can't say dangerous, but unexperienced, and you have so much zeal and without much knowledge, and you want to turn the world upside down. And there's a place in Sunnyside where we was living in that time in Pretoria. Sunnyside, Sunny Park, Sterland, you know, all those places there. There's a coffee shop called Crossroads Coffee Shop. And Grace Button, Afrikaans. And there was this auntie. I want to give her a track. She don't want to take it. Can you believe it? People don't want to take a track. And I can't believe it. I can't understand. Man, I'm too shy to talk. I don't know really, especially if they come with some stuff that, you know, this and that, and where's God, and who's God, and where does, you know, I want to give her this track. So I'm running after her like a little, you know, chihuahua dog. Man alive, she turned around. She nearly slapped me. If I didn't, you know, dive and duck and dive. She will blind me like a book, man. You know, she will turn my face like a book, the pages of a book, and she just scold me. Well, I never give her a track. I saw this is pointless, man. Yeah, and I think if I could know then what I know now, I think it would be different, and then she might take the track from me. But, you know, that's how we learn. You know, there at the burning bush, not in Stellenbosch, but there at the burning bush, where God is, you know, sharpened iron sharpens iron. And this thing concerning earn the right to ask, this thing of friendship evangelism, this thing of don't just bash in and hit them with the Bible, knock them out. I think we do many, many damage, much damage, and instead of finding common ground, and I know that the gospel will always offend. That is undebatable. It will always offend people. Jesus said that in John 6. And people was offended about because of his standard. And he nailed the truth and he said to them, you don't want me. You don't search for me really to have eternal life. You only search for me because yesterday I feed you with two fishes and five loaves. That is my paraphrasing of that story. But he know their heart and he nailed that. He say, you see me as a sugar daddy. You only want that. You don't really want to follow me, to serve me. And then they left. A lot of them. The Bible say they were offended. And then Peter come to Christ and say, but Lord, please, you know, my paraphrasing of it, can't you lower down your standard? These people are leaving. Peter, do you also want to leave? Wow. Are you also offended because of my standard? So Jesus feed them yesterday. Through that, the same people turn their backs on him, feel offended. So the gospel will always offend it. Even if you You come and you have a good intention in your heart. But the way I see it, once you have that friendship relationship, to show them how much you care, and they trust you, then they want to know how much do you know and what you know. I trust that you've learned something here. I hope you have your pen and paper, because we're going to listen now to Riranzo Mangani as she's going to read to us the South African Military Christian Fellowship news.
Attention! Evening, South Africa. Good evening, listeners of At Ease FM. Riranzo Mangani, your news reader. We pray for the peace and an end to the terrible war in Ukraine, as well as the peace in conflicts in other areas of the world. Let us continue to pray that the soldiers fighting on both sides in Ukraine tend to and find comfort and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their safety and the gift of eternal life in heaven, that they will have the peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ Jesus the Lord. Please remember to pray for the royal family who mourn the passing of the Queen Elizabeth. Also for our brothers and sisters in the UK Armed Forces Christian Union, Military Ministries International, and the chaplaincy who mourn the passing of their Queen. The Association of Military Christian Fellowship Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Bless the servicemen and women of all nations, and grant that we know the joy of being all in one in Christ Jesus, may be filled with your love and pass it to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit until his coming again. Amen. Please pray for the SANDF and other South African troops presently deployed to northern Mozambique to conduct peacekeeping operations. Pray also for the naval and air support, as well as the medical staff all serving in different areas of operation. Planning for the Regional Association of Military Christian Fellowship Interaction, which is again taking place in Madagascar from 8 to the 15th of October 2022, continues to go well. Military ethics will be a new subject included in the program. Please pray for the preps to go well. We give praise and thanks that our two SMCF delegates attending MMTI have been able to purchase their air ticket return to Madagascar. A big thank you to all our sponsors. Please consider financially supporting a delegate or delegates to attend from South Africa. We please value our listeners' prayer for these news items. We thank God for our SANDF chaplains. Please join us praying for their ministry and the service in the SANDF. The SANCF Working Committee met on Saturday, the 27th of August, to update our constitution, as well to discuss a few other matters. Please pray for the follow-ups and to do the work now required on updating our SANCF constitution. Please consider how you listeners might become more involved in supporting the ministry of the SANCF in the SANDF. This might be through prayer, financially, or other means. Let us know and we will further interact and contact you. Your support will be highly appreciated. I thank you. Remember, our contact details are 062-028-7465. I repeat, 062-028-7546. Our email address is smcf3@gmail.com. I repeat, smcf3@gmail.com. Our At Ease email address is atease@gncr.org.za. I repeat, atease@gncr.org.za. I thank you. Have a good evening. God love you. Thank you.
Well, folks, we come to the end of our program. I trust that you enjoy that. May God bless you. I trust, really, that you will send us an email. Even if you're not in the armed forces, doesn't matter. Send us something to say what this program has meant to you. Maybe there was a stanza. Maybe there was some little portion of this or that. We would love to hear from you. We're going to play out now the day thou cravest, talk about the greatest desire of God to be with mankind and how that is being fulfilled through every person who received Him. May God bless you. Be at ease wherever you are until we meet again, the Lord's willing, next week, the same time, the same place. Be at ease.